And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. We've got a big edition today. Got a lot of things carrying on here. I mean, you know, things are cascading down. I guess I use an analogy. The world is, I mean, things are happening so fast, so furious. I mean, it really threatens all of us, doesn't it? I tell you, if I didn't have Christ Jesus, I don't know what I would do. I mean, I'd be shaking and quivering in my bed every night. It is stupendous, the horrible things that are going on in this earth, right here in America. And, you know, I don't really say God bless America anymore, because this is a wicked, wicked place. There are some that I can say God bless, some Christians. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says that in any house there are vessels that are good and vessels that are bad. You know, even in my house, you know, you have little whatnots and knickknacks, I guess you call them. Women do, you know, they go and buy these cute little things. And Wanda has some that are pretty and some that, well, she doesn't really mind whether, you know, well, she does really. But if it fell down and, you know, broke in an accident, she wouldn't cry over it. She wouldn't like it, but she wouldn't cry over it. But then there's some that, oh, they have sentimental value or whatever. But the Bible says there are many vessels in a given house, and some are good and some are bad. America's like that. There are just a few Christians. I mean, it's amazing. It's so few. I go out there and, you know, the people come to me and talk to me and they say, I'm a Christian, and then I listen to them and I know they're not a Christian. I believe they think they are. Well, today we're going to talk about secrets. We're going to have a volume of secrets. Got a lot of secrets. I want to get right to it. You know, the question of abortion came up recently. And Hillary talked about abortion, and she used the term an unborn child. Well, she got bitterly criticized by the abortionists, by the liberals, for saying something about an unborn child. Of course, Planned Parenthood and all the child murderers out there say, well, there is no unborn such thing as an unborn child. It's a fetus. Yeah, sure. Well, oh, my. And then, of course, Donald Trump said, you know, was sort of trapped by Chris Matthews on MSNBC, and he said that women should be punished, women who have an abortion. He said, what kind of punishment, like 10 years in prison? He said, well, I don't know. But if the law is changed so to make abortions illegal, then women should be punished. Oh, the firestorm that arose out of that. Christians were upset at him, which, believe me, I am just shocked at. We'll talk about that in a moment. What are Christians that are angry about? I think they're a bunch of fake Christians. Of course they are. We got some other things here for you. The Pope, he's written in a new book, and he says that God loves the lesbians and the transgenders, the homosexuals. God loves them. You know, I've always wondered about that. First of all, the Bible says God is going to destroy them. He's going to destroy all those people, those wicked, immoral people. He specifically mentions the homosexuals. He's going to destroy them. Why would God, he loves them, but he destroys them? I'm trying to figure out, is God double-minded? I suppose in a sense he does love everybody, but still there are some that are evil and he has chosen them out. Talk about chosen, to be destroyed. Oh, that can't be, can it? Oh, yes, it's true. It's so true. Hey, we got other things to talk to you about. You know, there's proposals that climate change deniers, of which I am one, and maybe you are too, if you have any sense you are, should be imprisoned. Put in a house for the insane. If you don't realize that we're in a period of global warming and the world is in jeopardy and the sea coasts are going to change and they're going to be flooded. And I mean, the East Coast, the West Coast, even down here in the Gulf of Mexico area, the water is going to come up over the cities. It's true. It's true. Said the little chicken. The big chicken too, unfortunately. And if you don't believe that, why? They've got a place for you. It's an insane asylum. You deserve to be there. They got a place waiting for you in there. Well, okay. We're going to talk about that. Oh, let's see what else we got here to talk about. Oh, yes. Talking about homosexuals and all. Now they're passing laws and or they're changing laws throughout America, making it so that the restrooms don't have any signs on them. You go in a department store or a restaurant and, you know, they don't say men and women anymore. Because of transgenders, you don't want to discriminate against transgenders, do you? So you just take away the rights of everybody else. So, you know, your little girl wants to go to the bathroom, and naturally, well, I'd want her to go to the bathroom too. But there's some dirty, filthy old pedophile waiting for her in there. Well, he's a transgender. That's okay. Do you want to put your... I mean, this, folks, this is absolutely insane. And I'm pretty sick of it. I'm pretty sick of these transgenders and the homosexuals and all of these other wacko abortionist nuts dictating to you and I. Now, I've given my opinion on this before. I pray you'll agree with me. I don't know how you cannot. But we need to secede. We need to get out of this country. This is a wicked, evil, lying, dangerous country. It is. It's a wicked... It's demonic. This place is full of Satan. We need to get our own country. Of course, a few people have tried that and ended up dead, didn't they? But I'm not suggesting you break the law, but I'm suggesting you use all your ingenuity and cleverness and a lot of prayer. And let's find us a country. Of course, you know, the Bible says there's another country. There's another country, and we all should desire that other country. You know, I've always been impressed with Paul in the Bible where he talked about the prophets, saints of the Old Testament. He said they were not pleased with the country they were in. Now, we're all told that Abraham was given land, given a country. And ever since Abraham, the Jews have desired that earthly land of Jerusalem and Israel. But Paul said that's not so. The prophets have, they desire another country, a heavenly country. And Paul says also that when you come to know Jesus, you are immediately translated into that other country. You are brought nigh to Zion. You're made a citizen of Zion. I suppose that's probably the best thing we can ever hope for, to be a citizen of Zion. Because, folks, this is not working out for us. This is definitely not working out here on earth, is it? Now, we once thought that America was the greatest country on earth. And if we were Americans, we had it made. This was a Christian country. We could worship. The religious rights of people would be honored, not violated. But in the last, say 20 or 30 years, we've been battered. We've been bludgeoned. The beast has made war against the saints and is overcoming them. Revelation 13. He's made war against the saints and overcome them. But don't ever think that you're defeated. You're an overcomer, my friend. And the Bible, in that same book of Revelation that says the beast shall make war with the saints and overcome them, it also goes on later on to say, but we are the overcomers. How are we going to overcome all these horrible things? You know, just last week, some Republican governor, what a bunch of fakes the Republicans are, total fakes, total fakes. His name is Nathan Deal, and I forget what state he's from. I don't know, Alabama, Tennessee, Louisiana, I don't know, one of those southern states. They're all, you know, interchangeable, all these governors are a bunch of fakes. But the legislature of that state passed a religious rights law. You know, a baker can bake a cake for a homosexual, or a baker doesn't have to bake a cake. That kind of law. A church can hire a homosexual to be organist and pianist, or they don't have to hire one. That's their right. Well, this stupid governor, Nathan Deal, he ups and vetoes the law. He's changed his mind. He doesn't think that Christians need to have rights. So he vetoed that law that gave us those rights. Now, we shouldn't need a law for those rights. We have the Constitution. Not only that, we have our own rights given us by God. But this filthy, dirty, deceiving governor, Nathan Deal, what a name that is, Nathan Deal, says Christians don't need that law. I understand he's fixing to leave office very soon. He's not going to be voted out. He's retiring. He wants to get out and retire and go with his friends and say, yeah, I vetoed that law. Ha, ha, ha. I stabbed those Christians in the back. Ha, ha. That's what they do. Paul Ryan in the House Speaker, Senator McConnell in the Senate. There was a new trade package that was approved just this week in the Senate. A new trade package. Of course, giving foreigners billions of dollars, giving up our trade rights. More of them. They call it free trade. Yeah, it's free, all right. It cost the American worker a lot. And I'm told that the senators who approved it were in the back room and they were all slapping each other on the back. Ha, ha, ha. They don't care about you. They don't care about you and me. It's pitiful. Absolutely pitiful. Now, but you see, I should be put away for thinking like that. I really think a person should have the freedom to do whatever they want. If you want to sin, well, go ahead and sin. But, of course, you're going to pay for it one way or another. You're going to pay for it. God will have vengeance. He will. But if you want to do it, go ahead and do it. I'm not going to stop you. As long as you don't hurt somebody else or kill some little unborn baby, I'm not going to try to stop you. Well, maybe I will. Maybe I'll try to talk you out of it. Maybe I'll even beg you a little bit. Maybe I'll even cry and plead with you. Don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt your children. Don't hurt America. Don't. But you probably wouldn't listen to me if I said that. Well, so go ahead and do it. You know, I was recently reading another quote by Solzhenitsyn, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the great man of freedom, the wonderful patriot from Russia. He came to America to live. No doubt he left the Soviet Union and the horrors that were inflicted on him there. He spent 10 years in a camp, in a gulag, because he wrote something in a letter. Oh, they read all those letters. They read the letters that everybody wrote. And he wrote this letter, and he seemed to say something negative about Stalin. It was interpreted that this was a negative letter, and it mentioned Stalin. Of course, they brought him in. They said, you know, you've been a very faithful communist all these years, but sorry, it's off to the labor camps. 10 years they gave him. Boy, he saw the horrors there. So finally he wrote books such as Gulag Archipelago and the other books that exposed these Gulag concentration camps. And then finally he came to America to live. But he found out America was becoming the Soviet Union. And his final speeches, he's passed away now, his final speeches warned America, you're becoming just like the communists. Why did they become communists? Why did the Soviet Union, why did 66 million people perish from communism? He said it's because they forgot God. Here's a man who wrote books of over 1,000 pages. But when asked, why did communism happen? Why did 66 million perish? He simply said, they forgot God. That was pretty simple. To use a word now, pithy. Very pithy, very brief to the point. They forgot God. Americans have now forgotten God. They don't want to make laws. So many laws that, you know, the books are already crammed with all these laws. Every day a new law is passed. Forbidden this, forbidden that. Taking away money here, taking away your rights here. They just want to say this person's nuts. You're crazy. You need to be incarcerated. You need to be put away. Why, you actually believe that the unborn child is a child. You're nuts. You actually believe that marriage is good. Well, you're crazy. You believe that transgenders are mixed up, confused. Oh, you're evil. Now, let me tell you what they did in the Soviet Russia. Those people that they didn't want to put in camps, for whatever reason, labor camps, were taken away to hospitals, mental wards, mental hospitals. I read a letter from one such man. He wrote to his wife and he said, this is my last letter. He was on the mental ward of a hospital. He says, it's my fate has been determined. Tomorrow, the doctors will come in my room and I will be given an injection. I will be given an injection. And that medicine, quote unquote, will take away my mind. And then I will lay here in this bed forever, a vegetable. You see, he was crazy. He believed in freedom. He believed in liberty. The communists said, we can't have that. So they chose what his fate would be. They just gave him an injection. Solzhenitsyn said this. He said, the incarceration of free-thinking, healthy people in madhouses is spiritual murder. It is a variation of the gas chamber, even more cruel. The torture of the people being killed is more malicious and more prolonged. Like the gas chambers, these crimes will never be forgotten, and those involved in them will be condemned for all time during their life and after their death. But he was wrong about the last part here. Like the gas chambers, these crimes will never be forgotten. They've already been forgotten. Those involved in them will be condemned for all time during their life and after their death. No, the highest level members of the KGB were Jews who, when the Soviet Union fell, took their billions of dollars and ran off to live in Israel and Britain and France and throughout the world. That's what happened. They're rich men now. They sent thousands to prison camps and to hospitals where their minds were actually taken away. And now they're living lives of luxury. But he's right about the first part. The incarceration of free-thinking, healthy people in madhouses is spiritual murder. Well, I was reading down in San Francisco at an elementary school named Mira Loma Elementary School. They made a recent decision that they're going to phase out boys' and girls' restrooms, put them all in the same restrooms. It seemed that the school had about 8 gender nonconforming students. And naturally, these kids cannot be put in either the boys' or the girls' room, so they got a chance to choose whatever room they'd like to go into, whatever restroom they wanted to go into, whatever bathroom. "We want all of our students to feel safe," said the school. What about the little girls that didn't feel safe among the boys who were looking at them, who were making fun of their female parts? What about them? Well, they don't count. They don't count. "It was the right thing to do," said the principal, Mr. Sam Bass. Well, they did this in Hillsboro, Missouri. Says here about 150 students actually walked out of class. They were angry at what the school did to them. They protested. A single transgender teen, a boy who wanted to use the girls' restroom in the locker rooms. So they took away the rights of all of the students. Made all the restrooms transgender. Well, it looks like the real girls didn't like being put into a restroom that didn't say boy or girl, so they walked out. I don't know how the case ended up, but it was all because of a teenage boy who fancies himself a girl now and goes by the name Lila. Yeah, Lila didn't like having to go in the boy's restroom, although he had genitals just like a boy. He wanted to party right on into the girls' locker room. "I'm a girl," he said, "and I'm not going to be pushed away into another bathroom," he said. Oh, boy. We've lost it in America, friends. We've really lost it. Now, why is all this occurring? What is happening? I think America has become a satanic coven. Satanism everywhere. You know, have you read what I wrote about Scalia? Antonin Scalia, the late Supreme Court Justice? How he died? How he insisted that he have no guards accompany him on a trip to a special lodge? It was a meeting of a secret order. And the members of the secret order all met at this lodge. There they had satanic architecture, satanic art, horrible demonic mask, and effigies of Satan and little kids being plundered. That's right, my friends. It was satanic pedophile art. And they were everywhere, these satanic sculptures. And demons and horned gods. And there he went to meet with his little secret society. Well, I had read that Antonin Scalia, the great Supreme Court judge, he was one of the most wise, the wisest men on earth. He was so wise. He was conservative, they said. And how could he get involved with some secret society and end up dead? Well, if you read his story, since he's been a judge, you begin to get the message. You see, Antonin Scalia was a faithful Catholic, a Roman Catholic. What does that mean? It means that he had become a Jew. What? Racially? No. Not racially. He began to mix, as does Pope Francis, the Jews and Catholicism together. The Jews and Catholicism together. And of course, for so long people said the Catholic Church is going to be the mystery Babylon. Others said, oh, the Judaism and Israel are going to be mystery Babylon. Well, the devil's smarter than you, friends. The devil said, why do I want the Buddhists or the Hindus or the Jains or the Zoroasters or anyone? Why don't I get them all? Remember the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says he will go in the temple and declare himself God and above all other gods. That's why we have the Ten Commandments, you see. The Ten Commandments. Because what do we start off with the Ten Commandments? It says that I, God, will have no other God before me. I'm not going to put up with any God. Well, that's what the Antichrist says too. I'm going to be the God among all the gods. So Scalia was a faithful, devoted Catholic. And he was a pedophile, rotten Jew. How do I know he's a Jew? Because Nathan, the famous Jewish lawyer, talks about the fact that he was a Jew in becoming. In fact, he had used the Jewish Talmud, he quoted from it many times in his decisions. What kind of judge quotes from the Jewish Talmud? That's not American law. The Jewish Talmud is written by rabbis. That's man-made traditions. And Jesus told the Jews that believed in the Talmud, he said, your God is the devil. Scalia believed in the devil. He went down to West Texas to worship the devil. And the other pseudo-Jews were there. Yeah, Scalia actually founded a school to teach lawyers in Washington, D.C. how to use the Jewish Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, as it's formally called, in their law practices. How can they use they take the Bible from us, and then Scalia, this filthy, dirty, so-called conservative Jewish Catholic judge teaches lawyers to use the Talmud in their practice. And we worry about the Muslims bringing in Sharia law when we've got Talmudic law staring us right in the face, right on the Supreme Court. But you know what? The devil takes care of his own, didn't he? He took care of Scalia. He killed him. I don't know why, but he did. He killed him. Well, we'll be back in just a minute with a lot more. Got a lot more secrets for you, my friends. I want to talk about George Patton. Was he murdered? I believe he was. Why was he murdered? And Pope Francis. He's declared a world day for migrants and refugees. Oh, that's so blessed. Oh. And Obama has asked the Pope to shame anti-Muslims. Oh, yes. And, of course, he wants to praise the Castros in Cuba. I'll be back right after this brief message. I'm Tex Bars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. This is Tex Bars again. You know, I've been reading an excellent book. It's called Truth is a Lonely Warrior by James Perloff. It's subtitled Unmasking the Forces Behind Global Destruction. It's a great book. you know, it gives you a summation of where we're at in the New World Order today. I hope you'll buy the book. Let's see. I don't even know what the cost is. Sandra already, she knows everything around here. How long have you been with us here, Sandra? 24 years. Okay. Well, I think she knows. I haven't caught her with a question she couldn't answer yet. And she's doing our radio program today here in the studio, and I appreciate her so much. Sandra Myers, this book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. We've got a quantity in because I want everyone to have a copy of it. You know, Perloff was the guy who wrote the book exposing the Council on Foreign Relations, which he called, the name of that book was Shadow of Power. But he's written this book now, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. I want you to have it for $25. Now add $5 shipping and handling, total of $30. As for the book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. Boy, isn't that that's a fascinating title. Have you found that to be true, dear friends? Truth is a Lonely Warrior. I tell you, if you believe in truth, you're always going to be involved in warfare. The devil will always be at your door, trying to break in, in fact. He's not going to be just barely pawing at it or seeing if it's cracked. He's just going to break it down. Truth is a lonely warrior. On the other hand, Jesus said, blessed are you when men persecute you. Isn't that a great thing? Truth may be a lonely warrior, but it's a great blessing. Maybe I need to call Mr. Perloff and say, you need to add that on there, James. You need to add that on there. Okay, total of $30 for that book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. You can get it by phoning us toll-free here in the ministry, 1-800-234-9673, or go to our website, 24/7. By the way, you can listen to this radio program. You can re-listen to it over and over again. Some people do. They've listened to it two or three times during the week. And maybe my voice isn't clear, maybe they say that dumb guy have to listen to it over and over to find out what he's saying. I don't know. Or maybe they like it. I hope they like it. But you can listen to it there on powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. Isn't it interesting how simple that is? Powerofprophecy.com. Or if you can't remember that, just remember my name, TexMars.com. That'll get you there. You can order this book right there at powerofprophecy.com. Use your PayPal or your charge card and get it. Let's see, is there another way they can get it, Sandra? I think I mentioned that, 1-800-234-9673. They can write to us. There you go. We've been to the same location. We're not going to lose your letter. We've been to the same location for many years now. We're sort of out in the country. Actually, we're no longer out in the country. There are nice houses up and down the road. When we first moved out here, we were one of the few on the whole road. They had a lonely cemetery at the other end and a little elementary school, I think it is. Now there's houses everywhere. You know? I think they're going to... What are you doing down there, Tex Morris? They're going to ask me pretty soon. Well, I'm just enjoying myself down here at 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about secrets. And I was recently reading an interesting article on a website called Noahide News by my good friend, Mr. Pickle. His name is really his Pickle. He does a pretty good job on some of the things he writes. He says the synagogue of Satan demands that their God, small g, send the son of perdition now. Well, I wanted to know what that was all about, so I read it. It seems that the chief rabbi, his name is Shlomo Amor, has commanded God. You see, the rabbis are so powerful. Their Talmud says they can command God to do things. They can command, you know, the only people I've seen that can command God to do things are the word of faith people among the evangelicals. They just command God, God, give me a yacht. God, give me a passenger jet. God, make me rich. They just decree it. Of course, if they get what they're decreeing or commanding, it's the devil that gave it to them because God doesn't operate that way. I think you better ask for it. Well, whatever you want from God, you better ask. And, you know, it's nice to ask in a very pleading, nice tone, remembering that he is, after all, God. But these fakes, these horrible sinners out there, they think they can command God. Well, they must have got it from the Jewish rabbis. Because Chief Rabbi Shlomo Amar has commanded God to send the Messiah to the Jews. They had a big meeting in New York City. 6,000 Jewish rabbis showed up for it. 6,000 rabbis. Well, there at the proceedings, all these guys dressed in black with their flowing white beards and, you know, all. And there they were, and they said that it's time for the Messiah to come. Now, folks, they don't mean Jesus Christ. They've rejected him. They say he's a blasphemer, he's a sorcerer, he's a devil. He's in hell right now, according to the rabbis. So they look for someone else to come. In fact, many of them believe that Satan's serpent is going to provide the Messiah for them. Now, you're saying, Tex, that can't be. The serpent will provide the Messiah? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The serpent is the friend of the Jews, they say, in their holy religion. I'm not kidding you. I'm telling you the truth. Many of these rabbis pray to Satan. But these rabbis have said that God is not doing what they said. They commanded him. It's time for you to do your job and send us the Messiah, they said. I've got some advice for these rabbis. Don't be surprised if you get what you ask for. You're going to get the Messiah, all right. Yeah, the Prince of Darkness, the Lawless One, the Son of Perdition, the man with the number 666, the Antichrist, he's going to come. Oh, yes, he is going to come. You know, these Jewish rabbis, in their silly Kabbalistic magic. You know, my good friend, Michael Hoffman, was writing recently in his great book on Judaism. By the way, we have that, don't we, Sandra? We have the book. This guy, he writes so many books, you know, we gotta make sure we get the right one to you. Michael Hoffman's written a great book about Judaism. And it tells you all about Judaism and you know, they call us, phone us, and we'll, you know, tell you about that book. But Michael Hoffman says that Babylonian and Egyptian paganism is really what Judaism came out of. Now, we're not talking about God's religion. Remember, Jesus told the rabbis, you do not worship God. Instead, you worship your elders. You worship the man-made traditions of your elders. Ah, yes, that's Judaism. Now there's God's religion that he gave Moses and all of the great prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah. But the Jews didn't want that. Oh, no, they wanted Satan's religion. They adopted Judaism. That's the devil's religion. That's why they worship the serpent. He says this, Hoffman says this, he said, the rabbis hold Egypt in awe as a magical powerhouse. Pharaonic Egypt is a model, root, and source for Talmudic and Kabbalistic priestcraft. So now, obviously, the Egyptian gods and goddesses and the Pharaoh was able to call down from heaven whatever he wanted, he thought. Of course, today, there is no Pharaoh. Looks like he called down one too many things. I think these rabbis, they're making a big mistake. The time has come for God to reveal the Messiah, says Jerusalem's chief rabbi. You can Google it up, read about that if you want to. Meanwhile, boy, this is an amazing turnabout. Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, is angry. It seems that the current head of the United Nations has just gotten disgusted with the Jews. Ban Ki-moon is his name. Ban Ki-moon, K-I-M-O-O-N. He says, Israel is a pack of gangsters and hoodlums. I'm sort of overstating it. That's basically what he said. Wow. Now, my good friend Jonas Alexis, the writer for Veterans Today website, says, quote, it's not every single day you get to hear an agent of the New World Order, that's Ban Ki-moon, criticizing the Israeli gangsters and hoodlum. But we do have an example here. Ban Ki-moon has recently declared, quote, after nearly 50 years of occupation, it is time, he said, it is time for the people of Palestine to be given their liberty. The Palestinians are losing hope. Young people especially are losing hope. They are angered by the stifling policies of the occupation. They are oppressed peoples. They only want to live in dignity. Well, Netanyahu was angry at this, that Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General of the United Nations, would say such a thing about Israel. Oh, my goodness. Well, he told the truth, didn't he? Meanwhile, talking about these 6,000 rabbis that got together in New York, it seems that they're having some problems in New York City because, you see, there's certain people that don't like what the Jews are doing to animals. Now, you may want to know what they want to do to animals, what they're doing to animals. It seems that they've been accused, the Jews, the Hasidim, that's the Orthodox Jews in New York, are being very cruel to animals. Now, it has to do with Yom Kippur. Now, I know many Christians actually honor this stupid, silly, cruel day called Yom Kippur. Boy. Now, here's what the Jews do. The day before Yom Kippur, these young Jewish men take live chickens and swing them around their heads, and then they kill them. Now, what good does it do to swing a chicken around to your head till it's dead, wringing its neck? You may say, my goodness, thousands of chickens are killed by swinging their necks like that in a circle? Oh, yes, it's quite a sight to see. You can go on YouTube and see the spectacle of it all. Now, it seems that here's what the Jews believe. They believe that when you kill the chickens, your sins are thereby transferred to the chickens. That's a good deal, isn't it? I mean, think of that, folks. You are a sinful person. Oh, maybe you've committed adultery several times. Maybe you've robbed the Gentiles out of thousands of dollars. You lied. You've murdered. I don't know what you've done, but you want to get rid of your sins. What you do is you just get a chicken, and for Yom Kippur, you swing it over your neck and you hold it by the head, swing that chicken over your neck until it's dead. And then you're free. You don't have any sin anymore. That's a pretty good deal. I mean, now the only thing better than that is asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Well, you wouldn't even need a chicken, would you? But you would need faith. And that's a much greater thing than a chicken. But the Jews don't have Jesus, so they need a chicken. Or thousands of them. It says that Jewish groups in New York have already ordered 50,000 chickens for the mass slaughter. Now, the city sanitation department said they're getting a little sick of this. You see, they are the ones that are left to clean up the carnage. The Jews leave out on the streets thousands of dead chickens. And the city sanitation workers, you know, they have to go around and pick up all these dead chickens and clean up all the guts and the blood and all that stuff. But the Jews say that we want our religious rights, our religious freedom. Oh, boy. Man. Meanwhile, says here in this article that the city has already let the rabbis suck the blood off. Oh, never mind. That's circumcisions. I'm not going to talk about that. And the city also allows the Orthodox Jews to set fires in city trash baskets as part of another ancient ritual. I don't know what that one's all about. Do you folks? Setting fires in trash baskets as a ritual. I wonder what that does. I guess they're worshiping Baal. Baal, the fire god. Must be. Folks, I don't make this up. I promise you. It's right here. It's astonishing. Well, I told you about the Pope, Pope Francis. He has declared a world day for migrants and refugees, saying that we should be nice to them. Meanwhile, though, the refugees, they haven't been too nice themselves. It seems that in one city in Germany, you know, they have a lot of swimming pools there, public swimming pools. And these Syrian or other Arab migrants went into the swimming pool looking for little boys. Now, why were they looking for little German boys? Because they wanted to have sex with them. That's what you do. See, these guys actually were Afghanis. They were Afghanistan natives. But they were taken in by Germany. Now, Germany has taken in almost 2 million immigrants. And, of course, they want to live like they live back in Afghanistan. Well, what do they do in Afghanistan? When they could catch a little boy, they would have sex with him. And so these four different Afghani men saw these two young boys swimming there in the swimming pool and told them, come back to the back room and let's have sex together. Well, the little boys got scared and started running. And the men, you know, ran them down, and one of them got away, but the other one they took in the back room and they had sex with him. And then they went back to swimming. Well, the little boy, then he told his parents what they'd done to him, and they got the police in there, and it seems that the Afghani men are confused. They don't know what they've done wrong. We're Muslims. We're not Christians. We do what Muslims always do. We have sex with little kids. It's okay in Afghanistan to do that. Oh, boy. And, you know, Obama's going to bring 1 million Muslims into America. There's mosques going up on every corner. If I was a bad person, I would say burn those down. They're just satanic houses. Burn them down. Well, I'm not saying that. Okay. I'm not saying burn them down. Boy, I tell you, while I'm not saying that, I think God's going to burn everything someday. It says that in the Gospel of Peter. Read it. The book of Peter in the Bible. The whole earth's going up in a crisp, my friends. I hope you're in that new land called heaven, the new Zion. I pray you are. He's gonna burn this place. I mean, it's a filthy place. Imagine. Now, you know, you've read about Cologne, Germany, how during Christmas the Muslim migrants went around looking for women that they could rape. And the government lied and about the number of women who were raped. Hundreds were raped in one city on one night. But they deserved it. The Muslims said so. The Muslim men, they said those women deserved it. You see, they were wearing things that were too tight. Dresses, pants, and so forth. And so they got raped. It was their fault. Look how they dressed. Now, friends, let me tell you something. I don't care how a woman dresses. You have no right to assault her. In fact, Jesus said, you're guilty for even thinking of doing the act. If these dirty, filthy Muslims believed in the Bible, they wouldn't even think of doing the act. Jesus says, if you look upon a woman with adultery, you've committed the act. That's Christianity. You see, we're different than this. We've got to go back to this being a Christian country. We've got to establish these principles. I'm not sure we're going to. It doesn't look like God is going to give us that privilege anymore. Oh, for the old days when we had that privilege, my friends. It was just yesterday, it seems like, when you and I were children and we had bathrooms that you could take a little boy, a little girl, and they would be safe in. When you have a child go down to the local municipal swimming pool and they're not chased around by grown men from Afghanistan or Syria or Iraq or Iran trying to have sex with them, raping them. And in Cologne, Germany, listen, the women there did not dress provocatively. How do I know it? It was dead winter. It's cold. I've been in Cologne, Germany. I was stationed in Germany for 2 years. I went to Cologne. It was cold. They weren't wearing mini skirts or short pants. They had on coats, jackets, full-length jackets and coats. That's the kind of clothing they wore. But these Muslim men just, they wanted an excuse. Now, I told you that I would talk a little bit about General George Patton. He wrote his wife on July 21, 1945, just shortly before he was murdered. Yes, murdered. He said, "Being in Berlin gave me the blues. We have destroyed the Germans, and we're replacing them with Mongolian savages." Boy. You see, General Patton was ordered to take many of the Germans who had the nicer homes and kick them out, eject them from their homes, and give those homes to Jews. To Jews who had never, many of them had never lived in Germany before, and they had no rights to those homes. Those homes were worked for through the sweat of those Germans who were innocent of any crime, but they were kicked out on the streets to make sure that the Jews would have homes to live in. He saw this as wrong. "This is not right," he said. "I don't want to be a party to this kind of horror." Well, he was a party to it. He was made to be a party to it. And General Patton saw what the Russian soldiers had done to the German people. The Russian soldiers. If you want to know more about what the Russian soldiers did, read the book we offer here in the ministry by Mike King. Mike King, good friend of mine, a journalist, who wrote a book called The Bad War. You've heard of the good war? Well, this is the bad war. Virtually every German woman in East Germany was raped. Many were murdered by the marauding Russian soldiers. Why? Because they had no Christian values. They had been told since 1917 by the communists, there is no God. There is no God, so go and kill and rape and maraud. That's what they believed. Now we have Vladimir Putin. I don't know whether he's a Christian or what, but he supports the Christian church. And it's interesting that Putin has given a speech in which he said that America has become what Russia used to be, a place with no freedom. A place where the Christian religion, he said, is not accepted. A place where Satan dwells. Think about that. America has become what Russia used to be during the communist days, says Vladimir Putin. Wow. Now, General Patton was driving, his driver was driving a Jeep, and the Jeep was unexpectedly hit by a big army truck. They say Patton was still alive. And then somebody came from the side of the road, it had been planned, and shot him. And so he was laying in a hospital bed basically a paraplegic in his last hours. You see, Patton told his wife in his final letter to her, he said, I'm going to come home. I'm going to come back to America from Germany. And I'm going to tell the American people what we've been doing to the Germans here. I'm going to tell them about the Morgenthau Plan. We are intentionally starving the German people. We're taking Germans, good Germans, after the war and putting them in the concentration camps. This has to be exposed. Now, I'm paraphrasing what Patton said, but that's basically what he said. I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell the American people what we've been doing to the Germans. We're not giving them peace. We're not giving them food. We're killing them. We're being horrible to them. Here is a man who was the greatest general in World War II, and he was being forced to be a murderer. He would have no part of it. Do you know what kind of riot this would have caused America? Do you know how many people would have been angry when they found out what America was really doing? Because at the same time these things were going on, President Truman was telling everybody how rosy and wonderful it was now in the new post-war Germany. Oh, we're taking care of them. Oh, we've got the Marshall Plan going. It's so wonderful. Oh, we Americans, we're so generous to the defeated. Yeah, sure. General Patton knew the truth and he had to die. They wanted to make sure he would never get back to America. Ever. Well, Patton realized late in the war that the United States was fighting the wrong country. We should have been fighting communism, led by the Jews and the Soviet Union. He was murdered on December 21, 1945, in a supposed car crash. May he rest in peace. Well, let's see what else we've got here. We've only got about 3 minutes. Boy, I wish we had more time. I've got so much. I suppose we're just going to have to go on then. I did want to tell you, though, folks, about the Temple of Baal that's being built in New York City. Believe me, that's the same ancient idol worshipped in biblical times. The Jews in the book of Amos, read that, my friends, read the book of Amos. They sacrificed their children to the fire god Baal, which is basically Satan. This great temple was in Palmyra in Syria, and now they're rebuilding it. It's going to be built in London. It's going to be built in Times Square. You want to go see, you want to go worship at the Temple of Baal, the snake god, the holy serpent, the fire god? He was also called Moloch. Same one that the Bohemian Grove people worship today. Boy. Who is building this monstrosity? Imagine. They're building the Temple to Baal in Times Square in New York. Just tell me, this is not the very font of perversity and decadence right here in the United States of America. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Volume of Secrets. It's Power of Prophecy. And my prayer, dear friends, is that you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.